To follow up with you this week. Just a reminder, we also have the Bible study packs for sale for $5 to help you guys do soap. They're in the bag and you can purchase from me after class today. And yes.
Do they bleed through?
That is a good question that I don't know the answer to because I don't use them. Did anyone buy one last? It is, I will say, it's a regular highlighter. So Let me show you.
You can come sit with us, Mark.
Well, it's whatever
Megan
wants.
Yeah, you can go sit
there.
Mark,
can I
come
with us?
Yeah. I asked him first.
He's our family.
Mark and I know him.
He's from Iowa. Well, I'm waiting for my group to get here. You know what I mean?
I was going to touch it with them. They're too late.
Yeah.
Oh.
No.
Watch this. Daniel walks in.
I know I'm loving this table over here. I'm so excited about you guys. Now, Carrie, I'm going to need you to keep it under control, okay?
No, turn it loose.
All right.
Oh, man.
Hey, I've been craving Cheetos, so that would be awesome. I won't even make you eat them for my toes, babe. All right, who did their homework? Everybody just raise your hands, even if you didn't, pretend like you did. Who has the memory verse and wants to come up and... Come on, Miss Phyllis. I was like, we're going to have so many people because this is such an easy one. You can't write it. It's memory. You got to do it from your memory.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. No, it did not bleed through. Forgot. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I don't think you can have that scripture without the following scripture because the following scripture is my favorite. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world but that the world through him might be saved.
Oh, here you go. Here you go, Miss Phillip. You're welcome. She was serious, yeah. She might get two. I don't know, you guys. All right. Did anything stick out to you guys about the homework? And God speak to you guys in any particular way? You think he did? I know, yeah. Anyone else? One thing, as I was reading through in John 10, it says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. And it just struck me so hard, like how powerful God truly is. I think sometimes we tend to water him down and like take away his strength a little bit because we tend to see him from human perspective. And so it's just such a great reminder, like for one, as his sheep, to listen to him, to listen to his voice and to follow him, to obey him, and that no one or nothing can snatch you out of God's hands. That's how much he loves you. And that's how much he fights for you guys. Anyone else? That's so good. Amen. Good job, Michelle. Anyone else? I love that abide, because abide means to live there, to camp out there.
Yeah.
You stay there, not just, oh, I'm going to have 5 minutes here with you today, Lord, and not that there's anything wrong with 5 minutes with the Lord, but to abide is to stay there, to live there, to eat and breathe it. All right. Aw. All right. Well, I'm going to transition to Jeremiah. He's going to come up and bring you a powerful word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fire. No, I'm just kidding. Oh man, get your bowls and your spoons and your forks and knives and just everything. Yeah, steak knives, meat. All right. Well, talking about feeding, everybody got pizza tonight? Yes, we got pizza. We did this strategically to coincide with tonight's message and topic. With all the pizza in the background, we're going to talk about fasting tonight. No coincidence. The temptation is everywhere. It's in the back, and it's in the form of cheesy goodness from Little Caesars. Love it. So we're talking about fasting. And I love what Mark said. He talked about the word disciple and what that really means. And it means to be disciplined. And how many of y'all know it's very hard to sometimes to discipline ourselves as it pertains to things like food or just things in general that we really want and crave? Me with ice cream. I've gotten in the habit. I eat ice cream like every single night now, and that's not okay. I'm almost 40, and they told me that it's just catching up with me, and I can't eat ice cream every night. And that's what they said. I'm trying to work it out and, like, work out and make sure that that will balance everything so I can eat pints of ice cream like it's my job. But it's just not happening. So, yeah, it is hard. Discipline is hard. And being a disciple and continually, as Megan said, abiding in that, it can be difficult. And so a topic we're going to talk about tonight is one that can be a hard subject. It can be one that is misunderstood. And so we're going to go into that, and we're going to dive into it with some scripture, and then I'm going to let Dan come up and really hit some high points. So we're going to start with, what is a fast? Anybody? Just off the top of your head, fast. What is a fast?
That's it.
Abstaining. Abstaining from food, namely. That's good. So a fast is the practice of, as Miss Bonnie said, abstaining from food, either completely or partially for a specified period of time. It is an ancient practice found in most religions of the world. Now, traditionally, fasting has been a widely used form of asceticism, big word, and penitential practice observed for the purpose of purifying the person or atoning for sins and wrongdoing. So that sentence basically means that it was used to basically just punish the body, for lack of a better term. But sometimes it's good for us to abstain from the things that this flesh wants and craves and needs so badly, because we can let those things get out of control. Am I right? And so it's a good thing. Now, it doesn't sound like that, and it doesn't read like that always, but if done properly, it is so beneficial for us in our lives. So that's what fasting is. So the discipline of fasting is available to strengthen you spiritually and to help you overcome barriers that keep you from living a victorious Christian life. And I'm going to read that again because that's super important. The discipline of fasting, keyword discipline, of fasting is available to strengthen you spiritually and to help you overcome barriers that keep you from living a victorious Christian life. So when Jesus taught on prayer and fasting, he said, if you feel like praying and if you feel like fasting, did he say that? No, what did he say? And when. And when you pray. And when you fast. He did not use the word if. There's no word if in there. This is a non-negotiable. It reads like that in Scripture. It's not something that we can or cannot choose to do. He said, and when you pray, and when you fast. These are non-negotiables, and we need to read them and take them like they are non-negotiables, because they're to our benefit as Christians. As it says, it strengthens us spiritually and helps us overcome barriers that keep us from living a victorious life. So when we fast, when we pray, we know that that's going to be something that's going to strengthen us spiritually and help us to overcome these things that we're going to naturally face in this life, things that we need to learn to overcome through God's power. And he's given us vehicles to do that, and one of them is fasting. And we've already discussed prayer as another one. It's important. Prayer is about connecting to God. Fasting is about disconnecting from the world. I'll say it again. Prayer is about connecting to God. Fasting is about disconnecting from the world. How many of y'all know that we can use a lot more disconnecting, I think, in this world? Yeah. I mean, we all could. I know I can. There are days that I really just want to take the phone, and I don't even know if I can find a deep enough place to hide it to where it doesn't ring, and I don't think about it, and I don't want to know who's trying to call me and what's going on at work and, you know, all the things that we have a tendency to just bind ourselves up with that a lot of times we don't really need to, and we need to kind of disconnect. God wants us to disconnect. It's so vital that we disconnect. Why is it vital that we disconnect?
I think it's because, you know, we get to work in our everyday life, we begin to look and sound like everything else.
Mm-hmm.
We begin to look like the guy to the left and the guy to the right of us.
Yeah.
And then we get into routine, and when we separate ourselves from God through fasting, fasting is taking something out of us that we desire that our flesh needs. Mm-hmm. And when we separate ourselves from that, what it does is it puts us in a circumstance that we have to have God, because without Christ in the middle of fasting,
yep, so that's correct.
When we separate ourselves from that thing, it's an area of our life where we have to insert Christ in order to be successful, and it creates more relationship, it creates more dependency up on Christ in that, and it teaches us not just to fast and pray to see God move, but it also teaches us relationship.
Yeah, that's correct. And we talked about that in week one. I mean, that's God's just sole mission, that we be in relationship with him first and foremost. And so everything builds upon that relationship. But you hit the nail on the head. If it says that fasting is about disconnecting, then it stands to reason that we're connecting ourselves to many things that maybe are not healthy or beneficial to us in our lives. Maybe not all bad things either. Like my phone. My phone is not bad. Can it be? Of course. And used in moderation? No. But if I overdo anything in life, it's not good. It's not healthy for me. So saying that fasting is about disconnecting, it implies that we are connecting to many things in life that sometimes we need to pull back from, we need to let go of for a little while, and we need to connect solely to God. And so it's such an important part of that. And so, Justin, that's an awesome point. So when you begin to take up the discipline of fasting, you can expect resistance, interference, opposition, pizza on the night that we're talking about fasting, right? So don't be caught unaware. Remember that you are attempting to advance in your spiritual journey and gain ground for the kingdom. I'm going to say that again, because this is a battle, and we talked about that during prayer. This is not just something that we're tiptoeing through life in the middle of, you know, the field of daisies. This is a battle. It really is, and we need to think that way a lot of times. And I don't think that as Christians we focus on that warfare that we have to be a part of. And one of the tools to gain strength in that is prayer and fasting. So we have to think that way. If you are attempting to advance in your spiritual journey and gain ground for the kingdom, there is going to be opposition. Just be prepared. So it's an important thing to think about. And don't be upset when that happens and when that comes. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. This necessitates taking ground away from the enemy. So if I'm marching and I'm marching against somebody and I'm moving forward and there's forward progress, then that stands to reason that somebody else is moving backwards. And we as Christians, do we want to be the ones moving backwards? No, we do not. We want to be the ones marching forward and taking ground from that enemy. But we know that there is resistance in that, correct? There is not just an easy free flow with wind at our back as it pertains to our Christian lives and the enemy that is very real in our lives. There is a resistance, and as we're coming at something, we are going to feel that pressure, but we have to keep pushing forward, and sometimes we have to disconnect from the things that trip us up and have us looking to the right and to the left instead of forward and focusing on the things that we need to be focusing on to gain that spiritual ground for the kingdom of God. Correct.
Submission means we lose ground, but in Christ, when we submit, we gain ground.
Correct.
We gain strength, and we get to move forward through submission.
Mm-hmm.
And our submission takes us out of the equation, puts Christ in it. That's what fasting does.
One of my favorite topics is God's reverse economy. And I love to talk about it because it freaks people out at first. But it's such a good thing to discuss. God has a reverse economy from the world. Y'all, we live in a reverse economy. Give, and it'll be given to you. Is that what society teaches us? No. Take everything that you can. Take it. But God doesn't say that. God says, give. Give freely, and I will give it to you out of the abundance. And he has an abundance. He'll open the windows of heaven. I mean, just, God, we live in a reverse economy, and what you said is so true. We think that submission is such a sign of weakness in life, and if we turn our will over to something else, then we've lost something. But what has really happened is we've gained everything. And it's so important. That's such a good point, Justin. So anyway, no great movement of the Holy Spirit goes unchallenged by the enemy. Remember that. No great movement of the Holy Spirit goes unchallenged by the enemy. The enemy does not sit back and watch the Holy Spirit and just let him roam free and say, you know what? I'm not going to do anything with that one. I'm not going to do anything with that guy. He's preaching the word. He stopped doing drugs. He stopped drinking. He's going to church every time the doors are open. He's winning people over to Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to leave him alone. I don't really have time for him. You know, the new episode of Housewives is on. No, that's not what happens. There is a real enemy, and he is going to come against those moves of the Holy Spirit. So just be prepared. So with that, now that we know what fasting is, we know it's abstaining from food, but we know why it is. We know that it's a discipline. We know what we're trying to do. We're trying to gain ground from the enemy when we're doing this. Let's go into some examples. We're going to go through two examples in our group work tonight. We're about to go into the first set of group work, and we're going to read some examples of how or why fasting is good and how to do it correctly. And then we're going to read an example also of incorrect fasting. So we're going to start with the what not to do. So at your tables, in your groups, if you can, go to 1 Samuel 14 and read 14, 24 through 30. And then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about some questions. All right, is everybody kind of wrapping it up? I know that was a large piece of scripture and a lot to talk about in there, but did everybody get through most of the questions that were in that group work? So let's start it off. Who called the fast? Oh, man, I heard almost everybody in the whole room say it in unison almost. Everybody soaked it up, so that's good. We're using soap. That's good. Yeah, King Saul. So number two, why did he call the fast? Why do y'all think he called the fast? So you think it was out of a misguided attempt to win the next battle? Okay. So, wow, that if I starve these guys, they are going to fight so fast because they are starving and they know that there's a cheeseburger. Yeah. Miss Phyllis, she really soaped that one. Like, that was good. Like, wow. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So Saul wasn't all bad. He was just a parent. He was a parent. He had a bunch of unruly teenagers with knives and swords and stuff that all they wanted to do was fight. He was misunderstood. That's awesome. That's really good. That is hilarious. Anybody else pick anything else out of there? And think about what we talked about in soap. What do we do? We take scripture and then we take maybe one or two pieces out of a larger piece of scripture and we kind of analyze that, or something stands out to us. Is there another piece of this scripture that stood out to anybody? Angry. So for me, the scripture that really stood out in this, and it has a few words in here that really, to me, set the tone and has the mindset of Saul. And it's 24 and actually the second part or the latter part of 24. It says, "Before I have avenged myself on my enemies." He talks about himself three times within that one little piece of sentence. And to me, that really sets the tone of why he set this fast. It wasn't out of, a desire to really go out and do great things for God. He said, "I, myself, and my." It was a purely selfish, self-seeking, self-gratifying motive that he set this fast. So hopefully he can move the hand of God to do something to glorify himself. Yeah.
I think it's important too when you look back just a few verses earlier.
Yeah.
Of all, you know what I'm saying?
Well, and that's exactly right. I mean, who cannot find it very easy to get behind somebody who's doing something for somebody else and not out of selfish motives? I mean, gosh, it's so easy to follow somebody that's leading you towards something that's not rude and self-seeking for themselves. So anyway, that's such a good thing. I know we've touched on some of this. So what is wrong about the specific call to fast? What was wrong with King Saul? And that's right. Yeah. He used it as a means of control. He wanted something for himself. He wanted self-gratification and glorification. That's correct, and we talked about that. So number four, what did Jonathan do to put his life in danger? Yeah, he ate. And he didn't really understand it either. He couldn't understand why his father would call for that. He said, "Just a little bit of honey on my lips, and I'm ready to go." Like, he was wired up again, ready to go and slay another thousand. So, yeah, so... Number five, were his remarks about fasting right or wrong, and then why? What do you think? Were his remarks about fasting right or wrong, and why? Jonathan. Yeah, I'm sorry. It doesn't state that, but that's the question, yeah. Do you think Jonathan's remarks about fasting were right or wrong, and why? Yeah.
But Jonathan didn't know that his dad or the king had set the fast. But at the same time, he questioned. He said, "Why are we doing this?
Yeah.
It's God."
Yeah.
You know, and so I think if he knew that the fast was there, I think it could go both ways. But he didn't know, so I would.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You have to know. You have to read every piece of that scripture. Yeah, if you were to read a little bit about Saul calling the fast, and then skip a little bit. About the fact that Jonathan was not present with them at the time and did not know about it, and if you thought that he was aware, then yeah, it would look very much like he was insubordinate and coming against the direct order from the king, but he didn't know, and you're right. He made comments without that knowledge, and he made right comments, and so that is something to note. Yeah, you're correct. Saul made a bad decision that cost the lives of many, and his son was right. So what's the application today? What are some examples? And I know we got to move on, but just a couple examples, throw them out there. What do you think are some good today and the now examples of application for this piece of scripture?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's good. Yeah. They said break habits, remove strongholds. That's perfect. Victory over the enemy. We're talking about tonight, pushing forward, pushing against that enemy. Victory over the enemy. That's good. So last one. What must you be careful to do before starting a fast?
Dedicate.
Number one. You could almost just sum it up with right that. I mean, with that right there. Check your motives. Why? Why are you doing this fast? Did you even seek the Lord in it? Did you ask him? You know, do you want me to fast? What do you want me to fast? That's correct. Motives. All right, let's move on. Yeah, correct. All right. Let's move on to the second set of group work. If everybody could find 2 Chronicles 20, 1 through 29. We're going to do the same thing here, and we're going to look at an example of fasting done right. So at your tables, read that piece of scripture, 2 Chronicles 20, 1 through 29, and then about 10 minutes we'll come back together and we'll discuss it again.
Okay, guys. I know this one is, this scripture is packed. It's huge. There's a lot of verses of scripture, but so many good things in this passage of scripture. And one of those Old Testament stories that you just kind of just go back to all the time. Let's take a few minutes and let's work through that. Why did King Jehoshaphat? I should name one of my kids Jehoshaphat, just for fun. Jehoshaphat, get over here. Why did King Jehoshaphat call the people to a fast? Okay. War's been declared. What else? Okay. Okay. Yep. I think it's important, and I want to encourage you guys as you're working through your Bibles, like circle things and underline things and like draw, you know, circle this part and draw arrows to it. And just as you're reading through the word, you know, one of the things I read in there in that scripture, it says, verse 2, then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against us. No, it says a great multitude is coming against you. Hey, Jehoshaphat, there's a lot of people that are mad at you. And they're getting ready to cross that big sea over there, and they're coming at you. I don't know why it always is. It's you. They're not coming for us. It's coming for you. From beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazanon, Tamar, which is the En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. He was fearful. He called a fast because he was scared to death. Right? Like, I don't want to die. Like, I'm scared. Did you guys notice the difference between how King Jehoshaphat responds and how his call to fasting? He's still in charge, and he's still got that, when I'm calling a fast, people are going to order. He knows that people are going to follow that because he's in charge, right? And just like in the previous scripture with Saul, like he called the fast and people had to follow him, but the motives were wrong. But why did the people so eagerly follow King Jehoshaphat? Well, it's right there. It says, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast. And there's something about when you declare, you know, it's something about when Pastor Jeremy gets up a couple of times a year and he says, church, we're going to proclaim a fast. I've been seeking the Lord and I believe God has called us to a fast. And what your motivation now is, Our pastor, our leader, he's hearing from God. We're all going to fast together and we're going to pray. And that's kind of the attitude. You guys feel that atmosphere in this? Like King Jehoshaphat is saying, guys, I'm scared to death. We got to get a hold of something that's bigger than me. That's good. How do you know his motives were right before God as opposed to King Saul's in the previous example? How do we know? And I love the scriptures there. I saw you, Jeremiah. I love the verses there. Where Jehoshaphat prays. What an incredible prayer he prays. God, you are God. These are your people. This is the land that you gave. You remember? You gave it to Abraham, your friend, okay? I mean, and there's nothing wrong with us going. We go to prayer and we go to God with his word and say, God, you already said in your word. I'm just telling you what you told me. I'm just telling you what you've already written down. Like, I'm going to fast and pray, but I'm fasting and praying according to your, what? Your will and what you have declared. And that was Jehoshaphat. That's what he was saying. What were you going to say? So how did they respond? How did they respond to that call to fast? Man, they obeyed. Yeah. Like, desperately seeking God. Yeah. Yeah, let's pray. Yeah. Let's fast. Yeah, pull the family together. Guys, we're in this thing together. We got to pray. We got to fast. We got to hear from God. We got to see God come through on this thing. So much different. So much different than Saul. Number 4, what were the results of this fast? What did it set in motion? man, there is something about when we pray and we fast with the motive that God, man, if victory comes from this thing, it's not ours, God, it's yours. So I can stand in confidence that regardless of what happens in the situation, God, you're going to receive glory. I know that because our hearts are set on you. Yeah, Bonnie. Mm-hmm. But our eyes are on you. And Saul's eyes, where were his eyes? Come on, guys, where are our eyes the majority of the time? Oh, man. So many of the times it's on us. So many times if we're praying or fasting for a particular thing, if we check our motives, it's really, God, deliver me from this because I don't want to suffer anymore. Deliver me from this because I don't want the inconvenience of it. God, help us. When really, as we study the scripture and we allow God's not saying when you go through hard troubles, don't come to him. But many times when we go, and I'm going in a different direction just for a second, but when many times we go to pray and fast, it's not that we get the results of what we're praying and fasting for. It's many times God shifts the very attitude and the motive of my heart. So I see things so differently. And so when the outcome happens, and it's not the way that I was hoping, it's okay because somehow God has shifted me in a way because in that fasting, my perspective has changed. And I've realized, I've back to the beginning, I've fasted because I'm saying no to my flesh, and I'm saying yes to the Spirit of God. And when I start to say no to the flesh, and it begins to die and begins to be in submission to the will of God, it's amazing how things up here and things right here begin to adjust in a whole other way to the will of God. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah. Watch this. Verse 15, the second part of that. Thus says the Lord to you, King Jehoshaphat, who was scared just a few verses earlier, now says, and I love this because many times we'll come out of a time of prayer and fasting and we're different. I've got a hold of God. I have a confidence about me and about what God has to say. And I can imagine him saying before the people, hey, guys, don't listen to me. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it's God's. I mean, at that point, you know, go ahead and eat and be merry, man. God's got this under control. Number five, what would have happened had they not fasted? Yeah, I mean, there's a good chance they'd all died. And they would not have seen the miracle of God. They would not have seen God do incredible things. Verse 17, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Guys, so many times we miss out on the miracles of God because we don't position ourselves in that prayer and that fasting mode. We miss out on the things that God really wants to show us and do because we end up trying to do it in our own strength, right? No, God, I got this. I got this. Such a cool story. Examples of situations in modern-day life that are good occasions to fast and pray. What are some good reasons for us to fast and pray? That's good. That's good. Let me push up against this just for a second, because many times when we think about when should I fast? Well, when things aren't going my way, when things aren't happening the way I think they ought to happen, I'll tell you a good time to fast, and you may want to write this down. A good time to fast is when I'm out of alignment with God's word. When I'm out of alignment with God's word. Now, let me tell you something. You're never going to know if you're out of alignment with God's word if you're not. Jesus, help us. If I'm spending time in his word, and I love this comment about thankfulness because there are times when I bump into that and it says, in all situations, be thankful. And I say, my God, I'm not thankful. maybe I should spend some time fasting so that I can get right in alignment with God's word, so I'm in more of a thankful attitude. Amen? There are things, I think the best way to approach fasting is when I'm reading God's word and I find that I'm out of alignment, that I may ask God, how do I get back into alignment with your word? When I find that my thinking is when I have stinking thinking because I've been conforming myself to the patterns of this world for so long, Romans chapter 12, and I feel the Spirit of God saying, you know why your thinking is so stinking? Because you spend so much time watching that Netflix, or you spend so much time on your Facebook, maybe you ought to fast a little bit from some of those things so that we can realign our thought process with the Word of God. That's good. Let's jump right over that great transition right into the last page of our notes here. Number one, what fasting does in our lives. Fasting helps us overcome temptation. Fasting helps us overcome temptation. I spoke to a young man on Saturday night from Blitz. And came to me and said, there's just this thing in my life that I just can't overcome. That like, I, as much as I repent of it, I just can't quite get over it. That's a good opportunity for you to say, maybe I should spend some time fasting and praying. That's going to help me get over that temptation. Denial, write that down, denial produces discipline. Denial produces discipline. Paul the Apostle said, I beat my body into submission. He also said, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Like, Paul was in this constant, like, denying of my flesh. Like, I shouldn't be acting that way. I shouldn't be thinking that way. I shouldn't be having those temptations. Paul, he's the first to tell you, listen, sometimes I do what I don't want to do, and what I want to do, I don't do. Like, Paul's one of those guys that I just love because he is so relatable in so many ways. Yeah, Paul, I get that, man. I feel that. Denial produces discipline. Hebrews 12:11, no discipline seems pleasant at the time. Hello? How come it's so hard for me to be disciplined, Mark? Because discipline ain't fun. Discipline's not fun, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. 2 Peter 1, 5-15, for this reason, make every effort to add to your faith. Everyone say add. Sometimes, guys, it's hard to add. Like adding to our faith. Add to your faith goodness and goodness, knowledge and knowledge, self-control and self-control, perseverance and perseverance, godliness and godliness, mutual affection and a mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, like not just one time, but constantly, they'll keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. Who wants to be ineffective and unproductive? Nobody. Like, I want to live an effective and productive life. In what? In my knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be effective and productive, reproductive in my knowledge of Christ. Jesus, help us. Come on. Am I out of time already? I feel like it. Sorry. Shouldn't have given me a mic. I apologize. Number two, fasting brings breakthrough. Let's fly through these. Fasting brings breakthrough. Do you have these scriptures? Daniel chapter 10, 12 through 14. Yes. Ephesians chapter 6, 12. I want you to go back. Your homework is to look through those tonight. Number three, fasting weakens the flesh and strengthens your spirit. Don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. If you walk according to the flesh, you'll fulfill what? The desires of the flesh. And walk according to the Spirit, you're going to fulfill the desires of the Holy Spirit. Number four, fasting assists in bringing forth the will of God in a specific situation. Again, not my will, God, but your will be done. That's Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. I'm fasting, I'm praying. I don't want my will, God. This is what I want. This is how I feel. Like, take this cup from me. I don't want it. But nonetheless, one of the most powerful prayers, guys, we can pray is, nonetheless, God, your will be done, not mine. Number five, fasting brings clarity and understanding because I get rid of some of the noise. I get rid of some of the chatter, some of the ongoing hungers of the flesh that are just constantly at me. It brings clarity and understanding. Number six, fasting reduces and removes what we are not so that we can become what we are destined to be. Your God-given potential is our mission, and the farther you get into this thing, the deeper we go, you're going to find out as you fast and you pray and you spend time in God's Word, man, you're going to find your God-given potential. God's going to reveal that in and through you. Is that good? That's some good stuff. Fasting and prayer, man, it's a discipline. It's difficult. Pastor Tally's going to come up and no. Jesus is going to show up. Thank you guys for what a great class.
Thank you. Thank you, Dan, for entertainment. All right, just real quick, I'm going to hit on the homework. Your memory verse this week is Romans 1:16. So same rules go as today. The first hand I see gets it. Y'all better not let Phyllis win twice, okay? Are you supposed to say that about Scripture? I don't know. All right. The second thing is we want you guys to really be prayerful and consider fasting something at some point this week. And we would really love you to kind of journal that if you do it. And let us know your experience next week. We want to hear from you guys. Also, last thing you're reading, John 11 through 15. And then we encourage you guys to bring your soap journal so we can hear what God did this past week or this coming week. We want to share that with you guys, okay? Amen? Yeah. All right, Pastor Charlie is going to come up and close us out.
So what I love about this process is it reminds me of, excuse me, but like baking a cake. Every single ingredient on the box, back of that box, I don't make them from scratch. So I'm talking, yeah, Betty Crocker style here. So, but every ingredient is so necessary. One time I made homemade chocolate chip cookies, and I thought that because I was out of the baking soda, that I could use baking powder. They're both white. They're both used in baking, like, surely. So what I did was I used the same amount of baking powder as the baking soda. Does anyone want to guess what happened to my cookies? You would know, Mr. Grando. Yes. So they went flat, completely flat. And I learned very quickly that there are vital ingredients that are not optional. Listen, if my cookies are going to turn out right, I've got to follow the recipe. And you need to understand that this table of contents is not accidental. What you had in grow one and now that's building every week now in grow two is baking. It's creating the right ingredients in your bowl. And I promise you, it's going to bake you some really good cookies. I know that sounds childish, but just hear me. You need to understand that tonight you need baking soda. I want to read this. He already stole a little bit of my thunder on it, but it's the scripture that really birthed Grow Track out of my heart. Pastor's vision, my heart coming together here. And it says, it's 2 Peter, and I'm going to close with this, but listen. It says, his power, his divine power, has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him. What does that mean? His divine power, whose divine power has, okay, divine power, it gives us everything, some of what we need. It says it gives us everything we need to live what? A godly life. A godly life does not just mean sinless or not struggling with sin. A godly life is a life that looks like God, which also means you're walking in victory in the power of God, not just perfect righteousness, right? You're walking in victory and in power, okay? Now hang with me. It says his divine power has given us everything we need. We have the ingredients, listen, that we need for a godly life, but that comes through our knowledge and understanding of him. Then you go down a couple scriptures. Now hang on, I'm going to take you somewhere. And it says, therefore, for this reason, because that's so important, that you have everything you need from him to live out this life, you need to make every, and I feel like Peter saying it to you tonight. He's talking to these Christians. He's saying, make every effort. We put forth a lot of effort for our kids to succeed, don't we? We put a lot of effort to provide a house and a car and food for our families, don't we, ourselves? But Peter's saying, that's all great, but make every effort to do this. Make every effort to add to your faith. Say add. Add to your faith goodness. Don't stop at the foot of the cross. Jesus died to give you power, not just forgiveness. Okay? So add to the faith that he's Lord. Add to your faith now goodness. What does that mean? Oh, come on. What in the world is goodness? Being good like who? Like practicing it. Like just trying to be good. Listen, then he says, now add to your goodness knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of his word, knowledge of God. So hold on, we've got ingredients going here. We've got faith in Christ as Savior and Lord. Wonderful, praise Jesus. Okay, that's good. But that's you guys are beyond that. So I'm pleading with you to add, make every effort to add to your faith now goodness. There are some things in our lives right now that are not good, that need to go. And you need to replace that with the opposite. Instead of worry and fear, you need to walk in faith a little bit more. Okay? So we're going to add to our faith, guys. Everything we're teaching you in here is so vital. They're ingredients that you need so that you have that power to walk that godly life. It then says add to your goodness, knowledge. To your knowledge, guess what we add? Self-control. Hold on, wait a minute. So we're going to add to our goodness some knowledge of God and his word, but now I've got to add some knowledge of his word, something called self-control, which means now I have to put forth physical effort to walk this thing out, okay? He's not going to wave his wand over you and make you quit screaming and losing your temper at home. You've got to walk that out. You have to walk that out with the Holy Spirit's help, okay? So he doesn't stop there. Now he's adding another ingredient. He says, add to your self-control, another thing, perseverance. What is perseverance? Don't give up. Don't you dare give up. I don't care if you don't like one of the different things we teach on in here or something that happens Sunday morning or someone makes you mad when you walk down the hallway. I don't give a flip. Walk in perseverance. Don't you give up. Okay? Too many Christians stop growing and get out of grow track or get out of Sunday morning service or stop serving because someone makes them angry or offends them. Get over it. Persevere. Don't let them steal your ingredient. Did you hear me? Okay. Good grief. So then add to perseverance. How about some godliness? How about some Christ-like virtue and character? Then he says, and add now to the godliness, sprinkle in some mutual affection. And now to your mutual affection, pour in some love. Now listen, for if, say if, because this noun means there's a condition. If you read the word if in the Bible, Bible interpreter learners, if you read the word if, there's a condition. It says, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure. If you have these ingredients and increasing, if you keep adding to your faith, this is what you're going to have. It says they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you hear me? Do you really, really understand there's so much more of God than you have in your life right now? For me, to all of us. And we flip it. If we stop adding, we'll miss out on it. If adding to it ensures we receive it, could it mean the stopping of adding to it means we may miss out? So this teaching on fasting tonight, it's your baking soda. Listen to me. Every single milestone of my Christian walk is put on the map because I fasted and prayed. Did you hear me? You think I'm feeding you? I live and die by that. When I almost lost my mind, for real, fasted and prayed, God set me free. When I was struggling with temptation in a powerful, strong way, fasting and prayer brought me out. Did you hear me? This stuff works. It's vital. It's a necessary ingredient to make fasting a habit. And you're going to see yourself moving from glory to glory. Some of you are frustrated because you've heard that so long and your life does not model it, the glory to glory. And could it be maybe you're missing some ingredients? That's why your cookies are flat. Okay? Let's pray. Man, gosh, I love this class. I love it. Father, we just thank you so much that you Lord, I'm just so thankful that you challenge us to move beyond faith. Lord, that it's so wonderful to believe in you, Jesus, and we do. But Jesus, you're way more exciting. You've got this incredible journey of our faith. God, you have so much for Philip. You have so much for Chandler. You have so much for Vontae. You have so much for Callie. I could go around the whole room right now, Lord. You have plans they know not of, that if they don't do Jeremiah 33:3 and begin to ask of you and fast and pray, they may miss out on seeing it. God, we don't want to live those kind of lives. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, would you begin to stir every heart in here? That we're going to make a decision tonight to pick up this ingredient and use it. And we're going to see, this group is going to see tremendous fruitfulness as a result. God, I pray your blessing on them tonight and this week. I pray that as we fast, we'd see you in a whole new way. God, may our lives become aligned and see you, our problem, and our potential in a whole new way as we fast and pray. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Fantastic. You guys feel free to grab more pizza, Pepsi, get caffeinated before bedtime. Have a great night.